How does sound get into or touch your brain?
It's just waves of vibrating air. Your voice...
touch at a distance.
Beginning your voice box compresses air, and that air travels through space and time into my ear. A little tunnel. Waves of diffuse vibrating air focused and channeled into my eardrum, which vibrates a few very small bones. And the little bones transmit the vibration into this salty sea where the hairs are. And the hair cells are fascinating. The hair cells become active when they are literally bent by a wave. They bend like trees in a breeze. And when these hair cells bend, charged molecules flood inwards and activate the cell.
So the sound triggers the bones disturbs the fluid rocks the hairs.
Yes.
And then the hairs set off essentially electricity?
Yes.
Huh.
That's the language of neurons.
Why does music make so many of us so often feel so strongly?
Mark can at least begin to answer this question, this feeling question. He's done something really interesting. He's able to listen to the electricity as it pulls in the ear and shoots up this big fat nerve to the brain.
It's kind of a popping sound.
He can actually listen to that nerve, to the electricity.
Is that the sound?
That's what it sounds like.
This is the sound of sound entering a brain.
Yes, this is the sound of sound entering the brain as electricity, little pulses. And as you can hear, the electricity has a meter. What Mark has discovered is that when the electricity entering your brain is even and regular...
Is this regular?
This is regular.
Sort of, wait, hold on, wait. Yeah, that's regular.
Right. When the meter of the electricity is regular and rhythmic, it will arrive in our mind and be heard by us as a sound that we generally like this. Nice sound. That, in music, is known as a perfect fifth. However, and here's where it gets interesting, when the meter going from the ear to the brain is irregular, jagged, arrhythmic, unpredictable,
wait,
strange.
Let me hear. This is jagged?
Right here. This is jagged.
Wait, shh. Oh, yeah, it is. Just...
Yeah, and what Mark has discovered is that when electrical impulses like that travel from the ear to the brain, they will become heard by us, by our mind, as a sound that we generally don't like. That's a minor second.
The inputs coming from a minor second is very, very chaotic.
If a sound entering my brain is disorderly and unexpected...
Electrically speaking,
then that would make me feel uncomfortable...
Yeah.
And if it comes in a familiar and orderly way, that will make me feel comfortable.
If you try to imagine yourself where all you've heard is Wagner and the great romanticism of 19th century music. And then all of a sudden you get this. I mean, these are noises you've never heard before.
Now, it's all very new, but scientists are beginning to figure out what happens in our brain when we hear noises we've never heard before, especially dissonant noises.
We find that chords, musical chords that are typically judged to be dissonant, elicit these wild fluctuations in brain activity on an area of the brain called the auditory cortex.
There are groups of neurons whose sole job it is to turn that dissonant note, dissect it, take it apart and try to understand it.
We are a pattern-searching animal. And so at the level of the auditory cortex, the brain has this daunting task of having to be able to disentangle this complex mixture of sounds.
Neurons learn. And they learn fast.
I'm so smart.
Because they're actually part of a larger network of brain cells with a very technical name.
Called the corticofugal network.
And what this network does is it's always sort of monitoring, listening to the sounds that are coming into the brain and tuning those neurons to better hear those sounds.
Like trying to get the station on the radio, just getting it just right.
So our neurons literally adjust. If you're listening, if you're letting your corticofugal network do its job, it can actually resculpt your brain and let you hear the patterns better as the symphony evolves.